From the American College of Financial Services, it's time for NextGen in 10. For the next 10 minutes, join our host, Alana Phillips, as she speaks with industry leaders and insightful guests about topics relevant to up-and-coming financial professionals.
Hey, all. It's Alana Phillips here again with John Stattmuller. He's the founder of Good Advisors Finish First. Thanks for continuing the conversation with us, John.
Absolutely. Thanks, Alana.
I know we alluded to Good Advisors Finish First in our first part of our conversation. Hopefully our listeners have heard that. I want to dig into this, John. Good Advisors Finish First. One, what constitutes a good advisor? Clearly you've made a sweeping statement here about what you think a good financial advisor means. And why did you feel like it was necessary to create this Good Advisors Finish First group?
So as you all know, Alana, I could probably take a couple hours answering that question.
This is a 10-minute podcast.
I'll try to keep it pretty quick here. So I think back to a conversation I was having with my mom a few years ago, and we were getting into politics, getting into all these things. And she at one point is like, well, then do something about it. And she's probably said that to me a bunch of times in my life. But for whatever reason, at that particular moment, I had the epiphany. I'm like, okay, I will. I'm not going to influence, I don't believe I'm going to influence politics. I'm not going to influence a lot of things, but I do believe, based on my experience, based on the relationships that I've developed in the industry, I do believe I can make a dent in the industry. And so the concept really, it's good people finish first. It's a much broader, wider concept. But the idea, good advisors finish first, for me personally, is where I want to start. And I believe that that's a place that I can, like I said, make a difference. As far as the need goes, we've talked about this a number of times. The industry in general has this negative perception, this negative stigma in the general public. And over the course of my career, I've worked with and seen the fruits of the labor of so many good advisors or people that end up doing what's right for the clients. And personal story, my parents in their situation, had a good buddy who's a CFP, ended up convincing my dad to retire early, do a phased retirement. They're down in the Villages in Florida. It's possible that added a couple of quality years to my dad's life. And if we have an industry where we're constantly apologizing for the negative, constantly apologizing for fees and expenses, when I look at my dad's situation, my personal situation, there's not a price I can put on the result that my dad may have more time to spend with my kids. So I believe the industry needs to focus more on the good, needs to focus more on not coming with this mentality of apologizing for the negative headlines, the negative perception, and again, even the fees, where an advisor comes in and feels like I have to justify myself. If you're doing what's right, finish first, that concept in my mind, what it means is you will be more successful in the long run if you simply do what's right from the very beginning. And that could be financial, it could be simply quality of life. But I have in my Rolodex of contacts, advisors that I would identify as a good advisor. I'm like, this person is massively successful. And what are they doing that's so radically different? They're simply doing what's right for the client. Like it's I think that needs to be celebrated. And that's what really led to the creation of this cause.
I love it. And it resonates with me, John. I was at the Women Advisor Summit in Denver last week, and this idea had come up of what you're talking about. We focus a lot on the negative, and we were talking about women in the industry, just this small number of women advisors. And it was really negative. It was a very negative conversation. We had young women in the room, and I was very upset that this is the stuff that they have to hear, is the stories of those of us who have experienced things that are negative. And we took it and turned that on its head a little bit, right? But what about all of the incredible women in this room, right? And their stories. What about all the incredible men in their careers who are, you know, aren't the ones that are causing the problems and are trying to help the problem? And to change that conversation is a very powerful thing. So, John, what is a good advisor though? What does that mean?
Well, I guess the way that it's been in my mind, where this came from or where it clarified in my head, is it's not my place to say. It's the end client that gets to make the determination. And I've said this a number of times, and this goes into transparency. The intention behind everything we're doing is to simply turn on the lights and live in full transparency, not to identify what's good or bad, but with the lights fully on, with everything fully on the table and transparent, the clients are going to know what a good advisor is. So I don't know that it's necessarily even my place or anyone else's place to make that determination. In my mind, I feel like if we just simply live in this transparent exchange of information, of advice, ideas, the client's going to know and they're going to make the determination. I've said this a number of times, and this is maybe a 1,000-year quest, right? It just starts in the industry, good advisors. It's if the lights are fully on, bad can exist. There's not a way for it to exist. If the client knows exactly what they're getting, what they're paying for, why they're paying for it, you don't even have an opportunity to try to bias the situation, to maybe sell something that the client doesn't need, you know, go a different route. So again, I guess if you really want me to get into it, I can probably, you know, give you some examples of a good advisor or ideas, but
start again, naming names. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to name names, but it's, again, I think it's up to the client, really.
That's a great point, John. I'm going to pause us and take us to break for just a minute.
Deliver financial planning for every person and every need through our Chartered Financial Consultant Education Program. Find the tools and skills you need at theamericancollege.edu/CHFC.
Give your clients the retirement security they need with our Retirement Income Certified Professional designation. Visit theamericancollege.edu/RICP to learn more.
Thanks for joining us again. Let's pick up our conversation. I think about some of the firms that our listeners are at, John, and this idea of transparency is not okay, right? They're not there. The firm as a whole, their training protocol, the things that they are asking advisors to do, and you shared your story about the, you know, test where you have to figure out how to sell a client a product. How do they marry these two things or conflicting things of their firm is telling them or requiring or suggesting that things are not transparent, and you're saying that we think this is the best way?
Well, I mean, one thing, and I mentioned this before, that has me, I guess, more excited every day, more motivated, more inspired is just seeing the next generation of individuals coming up, and again, well beyond the industry, that have seemed to have figured things out much earlier in life than it took me. That's definitely happening in the industry, and there has been a massive amount of positive change in the industry. And so I go back to that test in that example that I gave. I don't know that I mean, maybe it can still exist. I hope that it can no longer exist. That was 20 years ago. I hope that something like that no longer is even possible. Now, that doesn't mean that it's perfect, right? As you mentioned, there are still a number of people that are hiding behind walls. But in my mind, in a lot of cases, these are walls that no longer exist. And I've said this before as well, is you can embrace radical transparency because you believe it's the best thing to do, or you can just, from a very practical standpoint, recognize that more and more as we move forward, nearly every conversation, every engagement could be recorded, could be posted anywhere, could be live streamed. So to try to hide behind these arbitrary walls, I just feel like it's not a long-term play. If I'm working for one of those firms or in that situation where I'm trying to strike that balance, because it is a balance. It's not, again, it's not perfect today by any means, but I do believe we have made a number of strides. The advice or the suggestions I'd have for individuals in those roles, in those firms, is to the extent that they can, voice opinions, right? Call attention to things that may not necessarily be done correctly. It doesn't mean you have to follow that path, and maybe you can't follow a certain path because of certain restrictions, but to the extent that you feel comfortable, raise your hand, say something. And people in general, and this has definitely even boiled up into middle management and higher ups, there is at least a growing number of people that are receptive to that message, more so than there were before. And again, that's not everyone. There's still a lot of people fighting against this movement toward, you know, full transparency. But that, I guess that's the biggest thing I would say, is just, you know, voice your opinion when and where you can, and acknowledge that in terms of execution, in terms of actions, you may not be able to follow a perfect path today.
I think not letting the good be the enemy of the perfect is a very good motto to live by. I can't think of what that's from, a book. So not letting the good be the enemy of the perfect is an important concept when we're talking about, you can't maybe just walk into the room baton twirling, you know, saying everything that you think about everything, right? You're not going to make progress, or you're not going to win friends and influence people. So it is a fine line, I think, to walk there. But I love what you said. There are people in the room, though, that are more open to it. And probably if you're willing to speak up, I would guess you're not the only one in the room that thinks that, right?
100%. Yep.
Yeah. So where do you start? You have this idea that we need good advisors finish first, good people finish first as a guiding philosophy, and we need to turn the lights on. How do we turn the lights on, John?
Well, it goes back to, again, speak up. And you know, when you see things that could be done a better way or a certain way, let people know about it. A big part of what I saw and why I was willing to basically leap off the cliff wasn't just simply the fact that I felt like I'm going to go off on this crusade and live in a box for the rest of my life. I do think there's a big need in the industry for advisors to openly share with one another. And there's a number of different mediums and ways for advisors to collaborate and share ideas, to support one another, to get better together. Unfortunately, in my mind, there's a lot of those that exist that have a bias behind them, have ulterior motives, have an incentive that isn't necessarily aligned with the advisors and the clients. And so I guess what I would say to advisors, to other professionals in the industry, is challenge not just yourself, but your peers to get better. As you said, there's other people in the room that have the mentality. That's one thing that we're seeing. And that's, you know, basically been my thesis, is I know a group, a core group that I feel very confident in, and I'm confident that there's more. And as we continue that narrative and that messaging, I think we're going to find even more.
Is there a point, John, where there's too much transparency?
Probably. You mentioned baton twirling and some of the things I do. I mean, have you read Originals?
The book? Adam Grant.
Adam Grant. So that book sticks out in my mind. I had somebody texting me today and reminding me of certain things in that book. You absolutely have to find a balance. There is a point where you can go too far, no question about it. But part of the transparency is being open and recognizing that fact. People appreciate it. People respect that. You know, if I'm at a firm that doesn't allow me, forces me to wear a suit or whatever, do something, other people know and respect that. There's nothing wrong with trying to deliver a message, kind of push things in a certain direction, but also still holding true to, whatever guardrails a particular enterprise might have for the individual employees.
I think that's fair. John, if this message is resonating with our listeners, how can they get involved or find this like-minded community?
So this all started a couple of years ago with, I just threw this hashtag out, good advisors finish first. And I asked people to follow it. At the time, I'm a corporate employee with LPL. And for the first 6 months or so, I thought for sure at some point they'd say, speaking of kind of toeing the line, I thought I'd get tapped on the shoulder and told, hey, you can't just go, deliver this messaging outside of corporate policy. But it was actually celebrated, and it still is not just at LPL and elsewhere. And so it started with that hashtag, LinkedIn predominantly, using the hashtag good advisors finish first. This has now turned into a community. website is goodadvisorsfinishfirst.com or goodpeoplefinishfirst.com. It goes to the same place. And we now have a community running, a private community that is focused on nothing other than straight peer-to-peer collaboration. And there's a set of core values that are really driving that community. And a big part of that is the mentality of humility, the mentality of abundance. There are people out there that truly want to help other people get better. And you know, again, it's bigger than our industry, but just in our industry, there are advisors out there who have no incentive other than helping one another get better. And so you can do that. Again, LinkedIn, other social media, encourage, join groups, you know, put things out. If you're interested in learning about what we're doing, goodadvisorsfinishfirst.com.
I love it. If you build it, they will come. John, I think that's the moral of that story. I'm going to wrap up our discussion here, John. I know we're going to continue to talk about that community and the benefits that come out of it for the folks involved. So thank you for what you are doing and for building it.
Thank you again, Alana.
For more episodes of this and other podcasts, visit theamericancollege.edu/podcasts. And don't forget to leave us a rating and review. This has been NextGen in 10, brought to you by the American College of Financial Services.